Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. As regular listeners will be well aware, we do love a chat about investing on Friends with Money. But I think it's fair to say that one of the parts of our portfolios that doesn't get quite as much airtime or attention as other assets is fixed income. But why not? Well, on today's show, we are going to give fixed income the love and time it deserves, least of all because it's a particularly relevant asset class at the moment, but we'll get into that later on. First, I need to introduce today's guest, though. So it is a pleasure to say that joining us today is Mark Jokum, product and investment strategist at Global X ETFs. Mark, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tom. Looking forward to the discussion today.
So am I, and you are very welcome. Mark, let us start with a very quick reminder for anyone who isn't familiar with the topic. What is fixed income, and what kind of assets are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tom, and it's an asset class that has been around for many decades. It's only, as you said, all of a sudden come back into fashion. But really, it's a type of investment that provides regular payments or regular income to investors until that maturity ends, hence the term fixed income. And a lot of people may be familiar with certain types of products or investments like fixed, whether you've got term deposits or cash, but they may be unfamiliar with another type of fixed income, which is bonds. And all bonds are is they are very similar to an IOU, where it's a common type of fixed income investment where it's essentially debt that's issued by a corporation or a government entity, and they use it to raise money to fund projects, fund day-to-day operations. So when an investor purchases a bond from one of these institutions, they are effectively lending money to that issuer and expecting to receive that money back at the end of the maturity period. So that's your principal, but then also expected to collect interest on the way, hence the term fixed income. So really popular asset class that has, like we talked about before, become top of mind for investors at the moment.
You kind of touched on it there a little bit, Mark, but just to expand on that point, how do fixed income assets actually work in terms of, you know, delivering returns for investors?
So there's really two forms of returns, Tom, when you're talking about fixed income. When you look at any asset class, really, there's both the capital growth side and then the income or the payments that come with it. With bonds, the latter is going to do a lot more of the heavy lifting. So the majority of the returns will come from the income. In fact, you know, the simple arithmetic nature of bonds is that whatever the yield of a bond is till it matures is the likely return you're going to get, assuming that there's no default. But you can also get capital gains and losses on the same side of bonds. And that's because if interest rates go up or down, bond prices do the opposite of that. So there is potential for capital gains within bonds. And we have seen that more recently as we've seen interest rates fall, particularly within some of the developed markets overseas. And not just that, Tom, but another way that you can also use to, I guess, get that return benefit is by rebalancing. So when share markets fall, bonds normally rise. And let's say you want to sell some of your bonds and go into another asset class, well, then you can actually improve the overall quality of your returns. So you can get the income and the capital appreciation from bonds, but then also use as a ballast within the entire portfolio. So a really great way for investors to get exposure to an asset class and deliver a more balanced and smoother return path.
Well, let's dig a little bit more into that then, as well then, Mark. So, for someone that is weighing up, you know, adding bonds or fixed income to their portfolio, how can that actually benefit that portfolio? You know, what can it do that other assets can't do?
It's a great question, Tom. And I think there's three main benefits why someone may want to consider bonds as part of their portfolio. The first, as the name suggests, is around income regularity. It's paying a fixed income. So for a lot of investors, they want a predictable income stream done at regular intervals, whether it's done on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, and that can be quite useful for retirees or even those just wanting stable cash flow and passive income. The second benefit is centered around diversification, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but it's really about reducing the overall risk in a portfolio because bonds tend to be less volatile than shares and can actually behave differently than shares. So when share markets fall, and if you look at some of the steepest drawdowns in the share market over the past 20, 30, 40 years, bonds have typically risen during those years. So a nice way to add diversification to your portfolio. And then the last benefit is around capital preservation. And why that's important is because when you're buying a bond, assuming that there's no default risk from the issuer, and you can invest in really highly rated issuers, whether it be the Australian government or highly rated corporate bonds, like banks as an example, you will expect to get that principal at the end of the period, known as the maturity period, and then you're promised to get interest along the way. And it's a little bit different to other asset classes because it does have that interest rate sensitivity. It does pay an income more regularly, unlike investing in dividends, where you're at the mercy of a company and their dividend policy, and it can provide that defensive cushion overall. So a really nice blended approach to help clients seeking a smoother path when it comes to returns, but also that income regularity, which is very important as most investors are striving to achieve a sustainable and regular income stream overall.
Defensive cushion, ballast, these words making me feel calm already. I like them. I like them a
That's
lot.
That's what bonds are designed to do. They are boring in nature, Tom, but the reason that people have them in their portfolios is so they can sleep at night. Because the share markets normally outperform bonds over time, but not every time. So to have that sleep at night factor, that's why people have bonds in their portfolio.
I love this defensive cushion. I need to get one for my bed. Mark, let's get a little bit more topical then. You mentioned interest rates a couple of times now, and I know it's a broad question, but what's been happening with interest rates and inflation, I guess, both in Australia and overseas, and how does, you know, both of those factors impact fixed income and assets, I guess, broadly?
Another great question, Tom, and you probably can't see a news headline without anyone talking about what's happening with interest rates and what's happening with inflation. Very topical at the moment, and I think the reason why is because we have had a bit of an inflation problem from the COVID-19 pandemic, of all the stimulus that's gone out into the market. And one of the ways that reserve banks can control the level of inflation, because that's one of their mandates, is to adjust interest rates. And at the moment, you're looking, and the analogy that I've used before, Tom, is controlling interest rates is like why you go to the weather forecast. It kind of dictates the environment that you're going to be investing in over the short to medium term, which is why so many people pay attention to interest rates. So inflation has dropped in Australia. It's gone down from a peak of 8% to around about 4% at the moment. But the Reserve Bank of Australia wants to keep it in between that target band of 2 to 3%. And sometimes it's that last mile that's always the hardest. So we may continue to experience what's known as disinflation, which is there still is inflation, but the rate of acceleration is falling. So it might take a bit more time for Australia to get there. And that's what you've seen in terms of where markets are pricing interest rates. In Australia, interest rates aren't projected to fall until some banks are saying early 2025, some have said mid-2025, some are even predicting end of 2025, whereas very different to other countries that have already reduced. The US Central Bank, the Fed, reduced by 0.5%. The New Zealand Reserve Bank have reduced already. Europe has reduced. Canada has reduced. So Australia might be on a different interest rate path. And that's what we saw from the RBA minutes that came out, is they said that, you know, they're not going to be done in tandem with other policies. They will be done separately. So we'll have to see what happens having a less restrictive economic policy. But that's why it's important for bond prices, because if interest rates fall, bond prices normally rise. So investors do need to have a look at right now. Great time might be to lock in those rates before they fall. And then you can then get that potential capital appreciation once interest rate cuts do come into effect.
Well, that's another perfect segue there, Mark. So, well, broadly speaking, and I know that, you know, this is going to depend on each individual's portfolio and their needs and wants and all that kind of thing. But is now a decent time for someone to at least consider adding fixed income to their portfolio then? And I guess, as you were getting at there, why might that be the case?
Yeah, another good question, Tom. And you're right, it does depend on your overall risk profile and your investment goals. But generally speaking, had you asked me this question a few years ago during the COVID-19 outbreak, where we saw interest rates fall to as low as 0.5, 0.6% in terms of what yield some of the government bonds were paying, I would say no, it's not a good time because the yields are low and there's potential for the capital value to fall. But it's very different now. What we've seen, the tide has really turned and bond yields have risen to some of their high levels. So it could be a great time for investors to lock in those rates before they eventually fall. Even more recently, we've seen bond yield, so the yield you can get on investing in an Australian government bond, actually increase from around about 3.8, 3.9% up to about 4 to 4.3%. And it's really important because it's all about the relative return that you're taking versus investing in boring cash, which is different to a government bond. And if you want to invest in cash, I mean, look at term deposit rates, Tom. The banks are already front-running that the RBA is going to reduce rates. And we've seen term deposit prices, the rate that you can get on them actually decline by up to 1%. High interest savings accounts are also still paying a relatively good yield. But you know, there's a lot of minimum requirements to have to get that bonus interest. So I think for investors who are looking to get, you know, pretty decent yields at the moment, potentially benefit from the price appreciation as well if interest rates do fall, and adding that ballast that you mentioned as well to help cushion the portfolio, I think now is a really great time for investors to consider adding bonds into their portfolio.
Well, final kind of important question then, Mark, obviously considering what we just talked about and, you know, perhaps we piqued a couple of people's interest here. How can people actually invest in fixed income? You know, what are the options that they have available to them?
It's funny, I've talked about the benefit of bonds and fixed income and now it's the how. How does that actually occur? And investing in fixed income traditionally was quite cumbersome because it was a complex investment vehicle to access. There were high minimum investment amounts. There was a lack of liquidity in some of the trading vehicles, even though the underlying bonds were quite liquid. And not just that, Tom, but when you invest in a bond, similar like a term deposit, you have to think about, well, what do I do when it matures? Do I buy the same bond from the same company? Do I go through the same bank? So all these problems are solved by one of the inventions that I believe is one of the best inventions in the modern financial era, which is exchange traded funds, ETFs. A simple investment vehicle where you can buy a basket of securities, a basket of companies, or a basket of fixed income securities that you can invest in that is well diversified and generally synonymous with low cost. So there's ETFs available in the Australian market where you can invest in government bonds, in corporate bonds, both domestic and internationally as well. And one area that we found quite interesting for people to invest in is a lot of people are interested in the Australian banks. They make up a huge part of our share market. We all have mortgages, term deposits with them. But there's another sleeve that investors can access, part of the banking capital structure, which is looking at the debt of banks. So the bonds that they issue. So we bought out the GlobalX Australia Bank Credit ETF. The ticker code is BANK for anyone who wants to potentially look at that as on the share market, where you can invest in a range of different banking securities. Sometimes the banking bonds are paying better or higher yield than banking shares, which is very topical at the moment. So for investors looking to get access to bonds, whether it's in Australia or overseas, you can get access to US Treasury bonds through an ETF like USTB. There's a range of different securities that you can access, all done with one very simple, very transparent, and very tax-efficient wrapper that makes it really easy for investors to access and get exposure to that asset class.
One final question. I said the last one was the final question, but it's not. Always lie about these things. Just out of interest, Mike, have you seen interest in fixed income ETFs change over time from, I guess, your own customers at GlobalX?
We have, definitely. And I think it's important because if you look at, and there was a great study done that showed that when you look at the Australian, just looking at the Australian superannuation industry, most people's allocation to fixed income is quite low. It's only at around about 12 or 13%. Whereas if you look at some of our global developed peers, like in the US or other developed markets, they're closer to around about 30 to 40%. So I still think Australians are under-allocating to fixed income or bonds as a whole, but things are changing. And that's your question, Tom, is we've seen a lot more investor interest in using the ETF wrapper to access fixed income. To give you a bit of a flavor, there's, you know, a few hundred ETFs available. There's now over 70 of those that are relating to fixed income or investing in things like bonds. And that makes up around about 15% of the entire ETF industry. It's about a $226 billion market as of the moment. And whilst that 15% doesn't sound like a lot, it's actually doubled over the last 5 years. So I think it's one of the fastest growing areas of the ETF market. I think when you look at the evolution of ETFs, the 2000s was about commodities. Then we got introduced into shares, global shares. I think fixed income might be that next wave that could be quite exciting for investors. Australians have allocated over $5 billion to fixed income ETFs over the past year. And last year was a really interesting year where bond ETF flows equated equity ETF flows or investing in share ETFs, which has never happened before.
Wow.
So I think product innovation, a lot more interest with people using fixed income, particularly in a more volatile market where people are a little bit unsure. We've got election cycles, we've got geopolitical tensions. Bonds really are that safe haven and that defensive asset class that people may be looking to get access to. And we're finding with our clients at GlobalX that fixed income is becoming very, very topical and was once a boring asset class is now being considered a brilliant asset class. And sometimes the best type of investing is boring investing. So great way for investors to access bonds or fixed income using the growth and the structure of exchange-traded funds, ETFs.
Well, I must say that I'm going to spend my weekend looking up two things. One is defensive cushions and the other is bonds. It'll be a fun weekend.
Sometimes researching the bonds may put you to bed, but like I said, if they were to help you keep you at sleep at night, it's doing its job.
Absolutely. Mark, you've done such an excellent job explaining things for us today. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on, and we'll get you back on Friends of Money again before too long.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for this episode of the Friends of Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.